Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Thank you for that welcome. You can take your seat. It is so, so good to be together, isn't it? And so wonderful to be part of this community. And it's looking and smelling and feeling a lot like Christmas, right? Just on Friday, Pastor Byron brought us all mince pies in the office, and we all looked like that guy. We had powder from top to bottom, but it was amazing because we really felt like Christmas had come. And so it is my joy and my privilege to be kicking us off with our Christmas series today called Good News, Great Joy. But you know, at this time of year, like Debbie so beautifully put, this can be a difficult season for some people. Because who knows that many people are grieving, many people have lost loved ones, and so this may be a Christmas where people are going into Christmas without their loved one with them. But I just love Thrive Church, and I love the Resource Center, and I love Pastor Kathy, who has an incredible heart for people. I want to encourage you that if you are grieving, or if you know someone who is grieving or going through a difficult season, and this season is going to be hard for them, get your blessing box, your box of blessing at the Resource Center. Gift it to someone who needs it this season. What's so beautiful about this is that it has 30 blessings in it. And so the whole point of this box and the heart behind this box is that every day for 30 days, your person who you're going to gift this to is going to open up a gift. And it's going to be an encouragement. It's going to be a blessing. It's going to be something sweet maybe. It's going to be a different thing every day. But after the 30 days, we can guarantee that people will be left feeling better off than what they started the 30 days. And so thank you, Pastor Kathy, for your heart in putting these together and sourcing these. These are beautiful, beautiful gifts. And today is still the beginning of the month. So today is the day that you need to get your box of blessing that you can gift to someone. So head over to the Resource Center today and grab that. Let's pray as we head into the Word. Father God, we thank you that you are a good God. And we thank you that we get the privilege of coming together as a community to sit under your Word once again. What a joy, what a privilege that is. And we pray, God, today that these would not be my words, but Holy Spirit, that you would speak a personal word to each person today. That you would open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our lives to you today to hear a word from you. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that as you do that, we would be with you, learn to be with you, learn to become like you, and learn to do what Jesus would do. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, ever heard of the saying, no news is good news? Anyone? Well, it seems to have originated in 1616 when King James I of England said this, no news is better than evil news. So I would agree with that, in that the whole point of the saying is that if you don't hear any news, that means bad news hasn't happened, and that's a good thing, right? But I would counter this statement to say that good news is good news. Good news is good news. We all need good news. We all need to hear good news. We all need good news, and the lack of good news is not good news. And that is what today and the series is all about. It's all about focusing on the good news, because we know that in today's world, where we're surrounded by so much bad news, we're in need of good news. Brent Linda Q, founder of the Good Things Guy, a popular South African good news platform, and it's a brilliant thing to follow if you haven't yet. He says this, good stories have the power to ignite hope, transform lives, and remind us that even in the darkest moments, there is a flicker of possibility. We all need good news. And I think God knew this, because when he had good news to share, it didn't fly under the radar. It wasn't by the by, but he prophesied about the good news and he announced the good news. You know, so many people encountered the good news before it even happened. They'd heard the good news before it had even happened. Jesus' arrival was the good news. And his arrival was announced to different people. Angels appeared to Mary, to Joseph, and to shepherds announcing this good news. And I love the account to the shepherds that we see in Luke 2, 8 to 12. It says this. And then there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." You know, from this account, we see that the good news was that Jesus was born. And for some of us today, this may be familiar good news. We might be familiar with the story of Jesus and that he is the Savior of the world. But how familiar are we with the great joy that comes with it? How familiar are we with experiencing the great joy that comes with it? Because it's one thing, church, to know something and to hear something. It's another thing to experience the good news and the great joy. But I do believe that God wants us to both know the good news and experience the great joy that comes along with it. So how do we do this? I want to propose this morning that it's all in our response. What links the good news and knowing the good news to experiencing the great joy is our response to the good news. Have you ever told someone good news and their response either made the good news better or made it worse? Anyone had that? So one of my favorite things in the world nowadays is telling my mom that she's going to have a grandchild. Because whether it was my sisters or Kulu and myself, she has the best reaction to this good news. Firstly, it starts off a little bit confused because we normally try to tell her in a cryptic way just to mess with her. So she's normally takes the longest to figure out what is actually happening. Then it goes to complete shock, where she actually looks like the emoji shock face. And then it goes to complete joy, where she goes, "I've got to be a granny! Oh, this is why I had children." Sometimes that takes away from our joy, because we're like, okay, she is over us now, and she's all for grandchildren. But it's really cute, and it's really special, and it makes the joy of the situation so much better because it's all in her response. It would be different if she just kind of said, "Cool." You know? Totally different response, but it's all in the response. It's our response to the good news, church, that evokes great joy. So, if our response matters, if this is what's important, which response should we have to the good news that we hear? To the good news that Jesus is born? To the good news that Jesus is our Savior? What should our response be to that good news? Well, I want to encourage us with the story and the life of Mary. Mary heard this good news, and she had four responses that I think if we learn from it, if we take on these responses in this Advent season, we will experience much joy. Let's first dive into some scripture. Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of Man, a son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is already in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. The first response is the response of obedience. I love Mary's first response of obedience. She's just been told that she is going to birth the Savior of the world. She's just been told that she is going to look probably like a delinquent teenage pregnancy. She's just been told that she has to tell the man that she loves that this happened by the Holy Spirit. My response would have been, okay, let me think about this a bit more and see how I'm going to figure out how this is all going to work. But her response is, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." I'm not so sure I would have had the same quick obedience response. But what I love about Mary's obedience is that she didn't have to understand it all in order for her to be obedient to it. Christine Kane says this, "God requires our obedience before our understanding." She didn't understand the whole picture. We don't understand the whole picture. She didn't understand what this would play out to be. And when God is asking us to be obedient, we don't have to know everything as well. But if He is asking us to take a step of obedience, we should. And why? Because it leads to the great joy of walking closely with Christ. The great joy of our obedience is walking closely with Christ. Is that my mic that's making it fun? There is no other person in history that walked as closely with Jesus as Mary did. Think about it. She carried him with her in her body for 9 months. For a large portion of his life, he was fully dependent on her for food, for caring, for looking after. You know, if I think of Jude now and how dependent he is on me, imagine the privilege of walking that closely with the Savior of the world. She walked that closely with the Savior of the world. The beautiful thing is that the same great joy of walking closely with Christ is available to us as well. We see this promise in John 15, verse 10 to 14. It says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you to do." Church, when we keep his commands, we abide in him and him in us. When we can obey his commands, when we are obedient, when we take steps of obedience to him and towards him, and because of what he's asking us to do, we are his friends. So what is God asking you to do? What is God asking you to be obedient to? Is it to forgive someone? Is it to show kindness or generosity with your money to the church or to the poor? Is it to be more consistent in spending time with Jesus? Is it to tell the truth when lying is more convenient? Is it to stay pure and keep sex for marriage? Is it to take your next step to be baptized? Is it to start tithing? Is it to start serving? Is it to stop gossiping and be an encouragement to people instead? The thing with obedience, church, is that it's between us, it's between you and me and our God. God is the only one who can tell us what he needs us to be obedient to. It's not between anyone else. It's not what others think you should be doing. But if you know God is asking you to take a step of obedience, then be obedient to that word, because as a result, you'll have the great joy of walking closely with Christ. The second response that Mary has is towards community. I love the encounter that takes place between Mary and her cousin Elizabeth, straight after hearing that she is going to have a baby and that her cousin is already pregnant. Mary goes to see her, and we pick up this account in Luke 1, verses 39 to 45. It says, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her.'" Mary's response, as a result of sharing the good news and moving towards community, is that Elizabeth experiences Jesus. How incredible is that thought, that even as an unborn child, Jesus was able to affect another person? Jesus in Mary, shining through Mary. Do you know where I'm headed with this? Jesus in us, shining through us, is able to affect other people. That's why the great joy of community is seeing others experience Jesus. And you know, at this time of year, we have the perfect way, the perfect opportunity to move towards community. Firstly, in our own families. You know, it's important for us to realize that Christmas is not just about the gifts. It's not just about the material things. But as we lead our family there, it can be about family. It can be about Jesus. It can be about the special times that we can have together. But it takes us leading them, leading our families that way. Why not spend less money on gifts and more money on the meal that you will share together? Why not spend less money or put less emphasis on opening gifts and more emphasis on sharing activities that you can do together? Why not create spaces where you can just sit and breathe and talk and be together as a family? Now, don't get me wrong. I have nothing wrong with gifts. I have nothing against gifts, so please do not tell Kulu that he's off the hook this year. But the point is that we can make it about Jesus more than we can make it about the material things. And as we do that, we are leaning towards community. We're drawing people closer to us, and that is community. And as a result, we see people experiencing Jesus. And then secondly, we have the best opportunity to invite others to experience Jesus. We all know that people go to church at Easter and at Christmas. And so this is the best opportunity to invite others. On your chairs, you'll see an invite to our carol services and to our Christmas services. Use that. Whenever the church sends out a picture into your serving groups, an invitation, a promo, put them up as your statuses, because you'll never know who is at the other end of that invitation, who can be experiencing Jesus. You know, it can be intimidating to invite people to church. I know it, you know it. But sometimes when Jesus is in us, we don't even need to use the words. We don't even need to make the ask, because Jesus in us, like he was in Mary, shines out and touches other people. You know, I experienced this in Easter this year. I met someone who was going through a very rough space, and all I did was kept connecting in, kept encouraging, kept raving about Thrive and how it's my home. I kept speaking about this, and then I did put up a digital invite on my status to our Easter services, and this person came, she responded to Jesus and gave her life to Jesus. And there was no better feeling, no greater joy than seeing someone else experience Jesus for the first time. We can do all of this if our first response, or if one of our responses, is community, because it will make all the difference to other people. Then Mary's third response was a response of reflection. I would say at this time, this can be the hardest response to put into action, but it can be the most important one. During the busyness and chaos and newness of Jesus' birth, we see that Mary's response was a response of reflection. Now, she has just traveled heavily pregnant on a donkey to where she needs to be. She has just given birth in probably a stinky stable, and she has just given birth to the Savior of the world. And she's got visitors coming that she doesn't even know. So she's got shepherds coming in, and she doesn't even know them. But her response in Luke 2, verses 19 is, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." I put myself in her shoes, and I'm not doing any pondering. I'm doing action. Okay, so how can we fix the situation now? Like, Joe couldn't get us into the hotel, but can we now transfer to the hotel? Like, this is the Savior of the world. Can we give him a better experience, you know? I've heard that there's, like, some people coming. I think they said they're wise men. Can we sneak off before they come? Because, like, I don't really want people seeing me in the state. And, you know, when they kiss the baby and it's all dangerous and all of that kind of thing. That would have been my response. A response of reflection? No, no, no. But the great joy, church, of the response of reflection is the gift of peace. And now, why do I say this? Can I have my frame, please? You know, when we have the response of reflection, it gives us better perspective. Picture it like this frame. Now, if I zoom in closely here, it looks like the only people who came to church were Pastor Steve, Pastor Kathy, and Pastor Byron. Now, that's not good. I don't know if you've ever been to a church service where only the preacher and the pastors arrived. Not a good service. But if I zoom out, oh, there's a whole bank. Oh, there's more people. There's a balcony of people. Yay! There's instruments, which means there was worship. And there's a Christmas tree, and it's looking beautiful. And our service doesn't look so sad anymore. No offense, but our service doesn't look so sad anymore because it has everyone here, and it's so much more beautiful. It's amazing what perspective can do. And reflection leads to perspective, and perspective leads to peace. Because let's picture Mary. She didn't have just one little view of Jesus thinking, how am I going to do this? I'm anxious. He has the Savior of the world in my arms. How am I going to do this? But because of a response of reflection, she looked up and she looked around and she started seeing, wow, God, you came through. Wow, your word came to pass. Wow. I get a front row picture, a front row seat at seeing what the Lord and Savior is going to do in this world. I get to see that. And you know what? I'm not anxious. I have peace. Oh, you know, amidst the busyness, I have peace. Oh, you know, amidst trying to meet deadlines before the end of the year, I have peace. Amidst the heartache of not having someone with me this Christmas, I have peace. And I love this quote that speaks about this so beautifully. It says, "Christmas is not just a time for festivity and merrymaking. It is more than that. It's a time for the contemplation of eternal things." When we take time to reflect, we get a better perspective that, yes, things might be tough. And I'm not saying that we need to minimize the pain or ignore the pain or think that that's not real. But we get a better perspective. Just like Debbie said, it's putting us our stuff in the Jesus box. It's saying that, yes, I'm going through all of this, but in the light of eternity, it's temporary. In the light of God's great love for me, it's small. In light of what God is going to be doing in and through this good news, I can have peace because of my reflection, because of my response of reflection. So how do we do this year? In this next month, as we lead up to Christmas, how do we put reflection or the response of reflection into practice? Here's a few things. Practice silence and solitude. Go for a walk in nature. Journal your thoughts, your pains, your joys, your gratitude. Take moments at the end of a day to process how you felt during that day. And then ask Jesus to be part of it. Invite him in to those emotions and invite him in to the next day. Reflecting on scripture can be a beautiful thing to do. And it should be one of the things that we're doing. You know, so many people, and I actually started this on the 1st of December, reading through the book of Luke. And if you haven't started, you can still start and join me in this. But basically, the book of Luke has 24 chapters. And so if you started early on in December, you ended around Christmas time. And so by the time Christmas comes, you have read and experienced about Jesus, his whole life, his birth, his life, his ministry, his resurrection. And what a perspective that gives us. What a reflection that is, and what a peace it can give you. And so if you start today, I worked it out, you'll be finished on Boxing Day. So everybody, at least do Luke, a chapter of Luke a day, and it's a great way to reflect. But let's not miss the opportunity to reflect, because it's a beautiful response that leads to great peace and the gift of peace. Then there's the response of praise. Mary has the response of praise. And the great joy of praise is a life of celebration. A famous passage of scripture is called Mary's Song. And it's her song of praise to God after she has heard this good news. Luke 1, verses 46 to 55. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of this humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Church, Mary praised. And the great joy of praise is a life of celebration, a life that celebrates God's goodness, that celebrates his faithfulness from generation to generation, a life that celebrates that he is good, that he is gracious, that he has mercy, that he shows us kindness, that he gives us life, that he has great love for us. This is why we praise, because we have a God who shared good news. And the good news was that Jesus loves us. The good news was that he came down from heaven for us because of his great love for us. And so right now, I want everybody standing. We are going to have the response of praise. A response of praise that says there is no other response than to respond to the good news. The good news that says that he loves me. That it was his love that brought him down, that he entered humanity, that he entered history. In God, in flesh, that was what he did for us. And so, our response, the only response to that is to give him glory, to give him honor, to give him praise, and to give him glory because he loves us, and he is good, and he is kind. So come on, church, let's give him a response of praise this morning.
You have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.